God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless, 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 and bless you. Welcome, welcome all of you. Welcome to this morning's Midweek Power Nugget, where 15 minutes of your day, if you give it over to God, He will not leave you empty-handed. He will return another opportunity for your life to be changed. We are grateful to God that He has allowed us, spared us another night, another day, another moment to be able to come into His presence, to be able to hear His word. Understanding and realizing that it is only His word that will sustain us. It is only His word that can transform us. It is only His word that can take us to where we need to be in Him. And we are grateful. Let's pray this morning. Our gracious Father and God, we love you today. We adore you. We magnify you. We know, God, that without you, we are nothing. And so, that God, we want to take this time to recognize you in our lives, to recognize that you could have given us up. You could have thrown us away. That's in our mindset. But God, because we know that you are love, we know that your love is transforming. We know that your love is ever-changing. We know that your love will compel us into becoming who it is that you desire for us to be if we allow it. Father, we pray even now, O God, that as we are here and up this morning, God, that we will recognize that we still exist because we are part of your plan. Not because we had plans, not because we had intentions of getting things accomplished today, not because we have an agenda. God, it's because you already wrote out the number of our days, and that number has not run out today. So God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for letting us specifically be a part of your plan. God, I know we haven't done everything right. We haven't done everything perfect. We have not done everything in accordance to what it is that you would desire for us to do or be. But God, you've given us another day to get it right. And so for that, God, we are grateful. Now, God, as we delve into your word this morning, God, understanding that your word is truly that lamp to our feet and that light to our path. God, we pray on this morning, God, that we would hear you. Hear you in a way that we've never heard you before. God, that we will be able to take your word and, God, apply it to our lives in the way that it needs to be, God. Father, we pray that your word would be transforming to us on this morning. God, that it would meet us where we need to be met. And Father, that we will not try to deny that you are speaking to us on this morning, but God, that we will let your word do the work. God, we love you today. God, we bless you for all of those that counted it not robbery to take up their time this morning to come on to hear what you have to say. God, we love you. We adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you that have joined us on this morning. On this morning, our journeys take us to two passages of scripture. We're going to start in Genesis. Genesis, the the third chapter. We're going to read the first six verses, and then we're going to jump to the book of James. So Genesis, the third chapter. We're going to start at the first verse. From the New American Standard Bible, it reads as follows. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave it, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. know you all are familiar with that story, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention as we jump now to James. Jump now to James, the first chapter, just a couple of verses from here. James, the first chapter, we'll read the, we'll start at the 13th through the 15th verses. Nope, 13 through 16. 13 through 16. Again, for the New American Standard Bible, it says this: let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Watch this, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And when that lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. And the word of the Lord is blessed. This morning I'm going to talk to you about a slippery slope. A slippery slope. And based on what I've read, I know you understand I want to talk about the slippery slope of sin. The slippery slope of sin. I want us to really get the understanding that the devil doesn't always lead us to sin with one big temptation, but instead he often works gradually, and he deceives us into thinking that a little misstep is harmless. As we looked in Genesis 3, 1 through 6, we see the subtleness of the serpent's approach. He doesn't barge in with an obvious lie or blatant attack. He begins by planting a seed of doubt. Is that for me and anybody? He plants a seed of doubt, and he asks, did God really say? After Eve tells exactly what, this is what God said. He said, you know, we can eat of any tree, but of these two trees we are not to eat, because if we do, we will surely die. Or this one tree, we will surely die. We're not to touch it, we're not to eat it, we will die. He says, did God really say that? And you all, that's where the slippery slope starts, when we begin to question or compromise on what God has clearly said. And so we see that the serpent convinces Eve that disobeying God's command is not really a big deal. And he twists the words of God, and he makes the forbidden fruit seem desirable and, matter of fact, beneficial. So he makes it seem as though it's going to benefit Eve to sin. Because notice, Eve didn't immediately reject the idea, but she entertained it. Isn't that what the scripture says in Genesis? It says that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that it was desirable to make one wise, she pondered what the enemy said. She entertained it. She considered it. And soon enough, she took the fruit. She ate it. And that's how the devil operates in our lives. He makes sin look harmless, even attractive, by appealing to our desires. He leads us, y'all, down a slippery slope. He convinces us that a small compromise isn't that big of a deal. It's not that serious. But as we see with Eve, the first step, that first step into that slippery slope quickly led to disobedience and separation from God. Because you know that's what sin does, right? It separates us from God. Well, how does desire lead us into sin? Well, that's where James 1 takes us and explains how temptation works in our heart. It says each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. That's the word, y'all. Don't get mad at me. That's the word. You all, it's important to understand that temptation starts within us. It starts with our own desires. Y'all, the devil knows our weaknesses. He knows that when you pray for a particular thing, even though it may be the desire of God to give it to you, the enemy is going to slip you a counterfeit if you are not in tune with the voice of God. He will cause you to believe that this is the job you prayed for. when God hadn't responded about the job you prayed for. He will cause you to believe this is the house you're supposed to buy. When God hadn't responded about you purchasing a house, he will get you to marry the wrong person, the devil will, because he knows how badly you want to be married and what you put before God. He will use your own desires to lure you in. And once we allow those desires to take root, they grow and they can lead to sin. And James is clear, sin, when it is fully grown, will bring forth death. Again, don't get mad at me now. That's the word. When sin is at its fruition in your life, it brings forth spiritual death. And you all, the problem with a slippery slope is that it often doesn't look dangerous at first. That descent is gradual. We might not even realize how far we've fallen until we're already deep into the sin. That's why it is so imperative, so important, so critical to realize and recognize the danger early on before we take that first step. That's why Proverbs 14 and 12 tells us there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but his end is destruction. It's the way of death. That path may seem harmless, even right in the beginning, but without the guidance of the Word of God, we could be heading down the slippery slope that will lead us to destruction. But how can we recognize, how can we understand, how can we realize when we're on a slippery slope? Well, you all, that first clue is when we start justifying the compromise to the Word of God. When we say something like, it wasn't that bad. I mean, everybody does it. It's old-fashioned. I mean, you don't really think about it anymore. Everybody lives together. Why should I get married if things don't work out, then we got to go through all kinds of, it's just a little lie. You know, the justifications. The moment we start rationalizing behavior that goes against God's word, we are at risk of slipping. You all, another sign is when we begin to separate ourselves from those that can keep us accountable. You all, Eve didn't consult with Adam before she ate the fruit. Remember, God spoke to Adam. Adam spoke to Eve. The enemy spoke to Eve, but then she didn't go back to Adam. And you all, when we isolate ourselves from other believers, when we avoid seeking wise counsel, we make it so easy for the enemy to deceive us. You all, 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. The enemy is always on the lookout to see who he can trip up, looking for opportunities to catch us off guard, and he often is able to do it by convincing us that the small compromises to the Word of God are harmless. So how do we guard ourselves? The first thing we've got to do, you all, you hear it so very often, is stay rooted in the Word of God. Eve's mistake was even having a conversation with the devil, entertaining his lies, instead of standing firmly on what God himself told Eve. When we know and trust the Word of God, we can resist the enemy. That's why the scripture tells us in Psalm, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When we treasure God's word in our hearts, we are so better equipped to recognize our desires, our temptations, or the temptations of our desires, and stand against it. And you all, we've got to remain steadfast in prayer. Jesus taught the disciples to pray and then say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And finally, you all, stay accountable. Stay accountable to others that are going to hold you accountable to this word. Surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you, speak life, and if necessary, confront you on you going down that slippery slope. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we adore you today. God, thank you for reminding us of your word, reminding us, God, that the enemy is subtle. He doesn't just barge in. But God, help us to keep our eyes open, our ears open, and to not entertain and not justify going down that slippery slope of sin. God, be with us as we go about our day today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazingly God-blessed day. In Jesus' name.